1 and 3 on what's so great about salvation. We're going to continue our series again today. We have a few more lessons planned. It's still good to see Libby. Libby, I'll try to stop by and see you this morning before you leave. I've been meaning to catch up with you, but she, to tell you, that's for a little old lady. She moves fast, man. I've been trying the last couple weeks to get say hello to her. So if I don't get, if you're out of the parking lot before I am, welcome back, Libby. All right. Today, the title of my lesson is My Constant Companion, the Holy Spirit. What's so great about salvation? My constant companion, the Holy Spirit. In Hebrews chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 and 3, the Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. God, let us take this time to marvel how wonderful, how gracious, how tremendous, how awesome it is, Lord, to be saved. Father, I believe we could spend a lifetime plumbing the depths of the greatness of salvation. Lord, I pray as we would turn our hearts to your scriptures this morning, Lord, I pray that you would bless. And Lord, I pray that you'd well up within our hearts, Father, Lord, a sense of wonder and awe. God, a tremendous love and admiration. Father, that we would come and worship at your feet, saying, oh, thank you, Lord, for saving a wretch like me. Lord, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've covered many topics in our study of salvation, and I'm so excited as we continue on. It would take a lifetime to explain how great salvation is. And I don't plan on letting this series go that long, though. Amen. Probably by the end of May, we'll wrap this series up. We're probably going to begin a Bible study in the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians talks about how tremendous Jesus is. And I believe that study will last us most of the summer. Next week, we're going to look at the fringe benefits of being saved. The fringe benefits of being saved. I come next week, invite your friends that look around you as we go into the next service. People that come into your pew that aren't here now, invite them to Sunday school next week. I think they're going to be excited that they came. And take your Bibles this morning, turn to the book of John. Turn to the book of John. The Gospel of John will be there most of this morning. The Gospel of John, most of you, it's commonly referred to as the Upper Room Discourse. The Gospel of John and chapter 14. Gospel of John and chapter 14. Jesus here, as he's speaking to the apostles, he makes some promises about the Holy Spirit. There is so much mistruth out there about the Holy Spirit. Oh, how he must be grieved at the grievous lies that are taught for doctrine. The error and the mistruth that is put out there as Bible truth. Oh, how it must grieve the heart of God. Today we're going to look at five of the precious ministries that the Holy Spirit of God has in our lives. What's so great about salvation? Why am I so glad to be saved? Why is it so important that everyone gets saved? Because when you get saved, you are blessed with so many innumerable blessings. But one of them, where we're going to focus this morning, is that I now have a new and constant companion, and that is the Holy Spirit. I remember as a young man, I remember clearly not being saved. I remember what it was like not to be saved. I feared death. I feared the future. I feared facing God. And oh, but one glorious day, the Lord was gracious and merciful to me. And I saw myself as a lost sinner. And I knew I needed Jesus Christ to save my soul. And I remember getting down and praying. My mother had the joyous privilege of leading me to Christ. And I got wonderfully saved. And from that day forward, since I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior, I have never been alone. And if you today have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you have never faced a day, you have never faced a moment, a minute, or a second by yourself. You have been given what the Bible calls the earnest of your salvation. He is the down payment, as the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, to a new life, a new glorious body. But we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. And He will be with you throughout all eternity. My friends, I don't know of, there are so many wonderful things, but I can't think of, in the top 200, one of the greatest things is that I will never be alone, that I will have the constant companion of the Holy Spirit of God guiding me and directing me, being a part of my life. Well, let's look at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14, let's begin our reading in verse 16. Well, let's back up to verse 15. I'm sorry. Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever." Now, who is this comforter? "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." This is, of course, before the day of Pentecost, and we're going to look at that in a moment here. Number one, he is our comforter. The description that Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, chose to give by introducing the Holy Spirit to his apostles, is he says, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter." Now, in verse 16, let's look at that. He says, "And I will pray the Father." Jesus is going to ask the Father. Now, let me ask you a question. If God the Son asks God the Father for something, do you think God the Father is going to give it to him? Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. All right. It's a pretty sure thing, right? Amen. "And he shall give you another comforter." Well, who was the first comforter then? That would have been Jesus. You see, the apostles had become accustomed to having the comfort of the presence of God in their life. You and I, God's creation, were created with a need and a desire and the absolute prerequisite of needing the presence of God. We won't take time to look back in the book of Genesis, but God created you to have a personal relationship with him. Amen? God created Adam and Eve that he might walk with them and talk with them, fellowship with them, be encouraged with them. God wanted to laugh with them, enjoy with them, and share their life with them. And Jesus Christ and the Almighty God wants to have the same relationship with you that he had with Adam and Eve. We were created for his fellowship. We were created for his pleasure. And that's what brings God pleasure, is when we spend time with him. That's why our hearts, it pleases the heart of God. And the Spirit bears witness as you and I spend time with God. When you and I get alone, we turn off the television and the radio. We close out all the distractions and say, "Lord, I'm going to focus this time on you. Lord, I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to distract myself. I'm going to spend some time communing with you. I'm going to read from your word and let you speak to my heart. I'm going to spend some time in prayer talking to my Heavenly Father." My friends, there is nothing more that pleases the Almighty God than when his children, his creation, spend time with him. You that are parents that have children that are older, what brings you the greatest pleasure is when your grown children come back to you. They desire to have fellowship with you. They desire to have time with you. They desire to commune with you. They desire to please you. Thus, it pleases the heart of God. God gave us that illustration of a parent with a child. Number one, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. You see, Jesus goes on to say, in this world, you're going to have problems. Anybody have any problems in here this morning? We've all got our problems. Anybody raise both hands? All right. We've all got problems. If we don't have problems now, we're going to face problems. We're going to face physical problems. We're going to face emotional problems. We're going to face family problems. Just this last week, my wife's dear aunt went to be with the Lord. Tragic loss in our family. And all of you that have suffered the loss of a spouse or a loved one or a child or a grandchild, you know that this life is fraught with sorrow. We're going to face many struggles. Even apart from our simple physical life, the normal day-to-day sorrows and trials of living in a sin-cursed world, Jesus goes on to say, is they're going to hate you because of me. Not only do we face physical problems, we face spiritual problems as well. You and I who take the Word of God, we hold up the sword, the 1611 King James Bible, and go forth saying, "Thus saith the Lord." You're going to face some problems. You're going to face some trials and adversities. People are going to shun you. People aren't going to understand you. People are going to deride you. They're going to you're going to be a one of those independent, fundamental, narrow-minded Baptist people. Amen. I'm so glad I'm one of them. Amen. Amen. And that's why Jesus says, number one, I'm going to give you a comforter. Because Jesus knows that in a sin-cursed world, one of the greatest things we need is a comforter. And I thank God that no matter what I face, whether life or death, sickness or peril, I will never face it alone. I will never face the tragedy of loss all by myself. I will never face the heartache of problems all by myself. What's so great about salvation? As I have been given a constant companion, the Holy Spirit of God. And He is my comforter. The word there, we don't spend much time delving into the Greek because God gave us English. Amen. And it's all Greek to me. But that word, that is a comforter, is someone to come alongside. And I think of as the greatest picture I can think of that is as you see someone suffering a loss, a tragic loss, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a child, a tragic health loss. And someone comes alongside that person and wraps their arms around that person and just says, I love you and it's going to be okay. See, that's a comforter. Someone to grab a hold of you and say, it's going to be all right. And that's what the Holy Spirit of God does when our soul is in anguish. Unfortunately, he doesn't have to come alongside. He comes from within. And he says, it's going to be all right. You got a heavenly Father that's still on the throne. You got a Savior who's never going to let you go. And it's going to be all right. Number one, Jesus said, this constant companion who will never leave you is your comforter. Number two, let's look in verse 17. We're in John chapter 14, the Gospel of John chapter 14. Number one, we see in verse 16, he's our comforter. In verse 17, we read this. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither know him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He is, number two, the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth is the fact is that he is the Spirit of truth, not the Spirit of falsehood, but the Spirit of truth. What is truth? Well, in John 14, back up in verse 6, we see number one, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the what? The truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Number two, not only is he my comforter, but he is the Spirit of truth. He is going to bear witness of Jesus. One of the great errors of doctrine in our day, Christian churches or supposedly Christian churches that go under the name of the banner of Christ, but have such false doctrine on the Holy Spirit of God. I will not take time to enumerate on this, but how it must grieve the heart of God of the lies and the heresy and the abominable lies of Satan that have filled the people of God about the precious Holy Spirit of God and His work. The Spirit of God bears witness of the truth. Do you know who the truth is? The truth is Jesus. If you were to go to a church that focuses on the Holy Spirit, that's not the Holy Spirit working there. That's the false spirit working there. You see, when you go into a church that focuses on Jesus Christ, that's a church that the Holy Spirit is working through. A church that goes and focuses on the manifestations of the Spirit or the works of the Spirit or the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit is not focused on the truth. The truth is Jesus Christ, number one. Number two, Jesus says, keep them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Number two, not only focusing on Jesus Christ, but focusing on the Word of God. I've had the misfortune of being in churches that focus on the Holy Spirit. They spend all their time inviting the Holy Spirit, spend all their time invoking the Holy Spirit, spend all their time seeking the Holy Spirit, looking the entire time to manifest the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit looks to look up two, manifest two things, Jesus Christ and the truth of the Word of God. That's the work of the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. You know what the Spirit of truth will keep you from? It'll keep you from the spirit of error. By focusing on Jesus Christ. As the Bible says, holding the head. The head is Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body of Christ flows. We are preserved from the spirit of error. Take your Bibles and look at John chapter 15 and verse 26. Continuing on about this Holy Spirit of truth. In John chapter 15 and verse 26, "But when the Comforter's come, who I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of" who? "Of me." That's Jesus. "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Let's look as well in John 17, 17. John 17, 17. I alluded to this a little bit earlier. Jesus says, "Sanctify them through thy truth." Thy what? Word is truth. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness of the true light, the true way, and the true Savior. My friends, our hearts need to be established with the grace of Jesus Christ. And when our hearts are established with Jesus Christ, with the truth of God, we are kept from error. As the Bible says, and as Paul wrote to Timothy and Titus, how these people are blown around with every wind of doctrine. There's all kinds of new doctrines coming. There's all types. There's been from 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ walked this earth, there have been the false winds of satanic doctrine. Jesus says the Spirit of truth will keep you from those, and he'll lead you into truth. So number one, he's our comforter. Number two, he's the Spirit of truth. Number three, he's our teacher. Look back in John chapter 14 and verse 26. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Not only is he my comforter, not only he is the Spirit of truth, number three, he's our teacher. John 14, 26. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." Thank God for the Holy Spirit of God. Turn over to John chapter 16 and verse 12. John chapter 16 and verse 12. This is an amazing passage of Scripture here. In John chapter 16 and verse 12, he said, Jesus speaking here, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." The Holy Spirit of God is our teacher. Think of that. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and says, now this is the Almighty God. Think about that. This is the Almighty God speaking here, and he says, "I've got many things I want to teach you, but you can't hear them now." What an amazing thing. Jesus, who could walk on water. Jesus, who could raise the dead. Jesus, who could break a little fish and a couple loaves and feed multitudes of people. Said, "You know what? There's just some things that you're just not ready for." You see, Christian growth takes time. Christian growth takes long times. And he says, the Holy Spirit of God, look at verse 13. How be it, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. See, walking with God is a journey. And he is our guide through the Scriptures and through the path of life. And the Spirit in the Bible, Jesus says, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. My friends, as you humble yourselves, as I humble myself and say, "Oh, Lord, lead me today." One of the prayers that I pray every day is, "Oh, God, help me to walk in your will today. God, help me to do what you want me to do today. Lord, help me to humble my heart to the Holy Spirit today, that I may hear him and that I may obey him, that I may glorify you." See, you don't just get saved and poof, you're a perfect Christian. You just don't hatch out and say, da 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 da, you're a brand new super Christian. No, it takes time. It takes a long time. Think of the growth that you have made in your personal life. God gives us God gives us many times the physical realm as a picture of the spiritual realm. When we think of it, as you think of a newborn baby, the progress it takes for that newborn baby to grow and to mature and to be strengthened and to go forward. And that child has periods of great growth and sometimes a great stability, sometimes regression and sometimes forward. But God has given us that picture. The Bible says we are like babes. We should desire as newborn babes, the sincere milk of the Word of God. When we get saved, we're a new creature, a new creation in God. And we're little spiritual infants. And it takes time for us to grow. And I thank God that I have a companion and guide that knows where I'm supposed to go. Amen. I was giving this, my wife and I were sitting in our lunch cafeteria a few weeks ago. And we're sitting there and we like to look out. We look out over the turnpike, actually, and there's a parking lot in front of us. And we like to watch the people come in, and they circle around. We call them parking lot sharks. All right. Instead of just going out and parking and then walking into the building, they'll waste 20 minutes of gas circling the parking lot to find a close spot. All right. And at $2.87 a gallon, that's not a good decision to me. All right. Literally 15 to 20 minutes worth of gas. Occasionally, they're blessed, and someone will leave in front of them, and they'll come right in and get a spot. But as my wife and I sat there, we saw there was this one parking space on our side. We could see it, and here comes a car coming in. And as he come around, I looked over to my wife, and I said, you know what? I know that person's future. I know that person's future. They don't know it, but I know it. And she looked at me like, you're crazy, which is, you know, something that happens a lot. But that's another story. All right. But I said, I know exactly what that person's going to do. I said, they're going to come around there and they're going to find that parking spot and they're going to rejoice at their good fortune. And we sat there and talked. How much is that like God in our life? I'm not comparing myself to God. But you see, that person, as he came up the parking lot, he couldn't see that parking space. And he was flying, all right, because he was late. He come flying around there, and he had to go all the way down, probably about a quarter mile down, turn around the loop, and come all the way back up the parking lot. And it was one of the last parking spaces. And by the time you get, having done this before myself, by the time you get all the way down and around and come back up, you know all the parking spaces are gone. All right, and you're like, ooh, now I got to go all the way around and back to the front of the building, and you got to go to the complete backside of the building to find the actual open parking spots. Because at that point, it's a long way around. And that person, I knew what that person was going to do, and how happy they were going to be when they found it. But I know what you're feeling when you're rounding that second curve. Ever have that little pit in your stomach, that little gnawing in the pit of your stomach? Like, oh man, there's nothing available. Have you ever been to that point in your life and you're going down a road and you know God's, you know what you need to do and you know what God wants you to do and you don't see any openings and you're not sure what's going to happen and you got that gnawing in your stomach? Oh man, this is not going to work out. I'm going to have to go all the way around. And hear that person and the joy that happens when God finally does open that door. You see, just like sitting in that cafeteria, I could see that person's future. See, my friends, God knows what's coming in our life. That was such a simple illustration that God gave me to help understand. You know, because as we look down in our life, we don't, Ms. Tony and I don't know what God's going to do in our lives. But God does. And as you look down the path of your life, you don't know what God's going to do in your life. But God does. And my friends, God knows where He's got a spot for you. Whether that's in a marriage or in a relationship. whether that's children, whether that's your home, whether that's finances, a job, a location, a ministry, whatever God has, whatever you're dealing with. Brother Marty, God knows what's going to happen in your life. Pray for Brother Marty with his service. He's in the service. God knows what's going to happen, Brother Marty, down the road. And God's not nervous about your future. You know why? Because God knows your future. And though we worry about it, we struggle with it, and we pray about it, God knows exactly where God has us going. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me in that perfect truth. Amen? Number one, He is our comforter. I'm so glad I'm saved because I have a comforter. Number two, I'm so glad I'm saved because I have the Spirit of truth keeping me from the spirit of error. Number three, I'm so glad that I'm saved and I have the Holy Spirit because He's our teacher and our guide. Number four, actually, that was number three. I numbered two number threes. So this is the number four and number five and then number six. All right. He is our soul winning helper. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 7. John chapter 16 and verse 7. Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." Number four, He is our soul-winning helper. Actually, we are His soul-winning helper, all right? I'm not Jesus' the Holy Spirit's soul-winning helper. He's not my helper. I'm His helper on this, all right? So many times when we go out and we go door-knocking on visitation, or when we go to the nursing home, Brother Tom, or we go to Sunday school, or we go witnessing to our neighbor, we're thinking, man, I've got to have the perfect pitch. I've got to have the right words to say. I got to know all the scriptures. No, you need to go realizing that you're not going and He's helping you. He's going and you're helping Him. You see, it's the Holy Spirit of God that does the work of soul winning. It's the Holy Spirit of God that brings people under conviction. We get the awesome privilege of helping the Lord, as the Lord says in Corinthians, that we are His ambassadors. We go out and we don't know who the Lord has prepared. That's why we go to everybody. I don't know if it's this door or that door or that door that the Holy Spirit of God's been working in their life. Maybe He works with Brian. And I don't know that, but Brian's been witnessing to him and giving him gospel tracts and prepared his heart. And the Holy Spirit of God is dealing with him, convicting him of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. And I get the glorious opportunity of being a part of the marvelous work of God and of the regeneration of a human soul, because He is our helper in soul winning. So many times people don't go out and go soul winning because they think it all rides on them. So many years, I thought it all rode on me. I felt so bad. Oh, man, I'm such a bad soul winner. I don't see hundreds of people getting saved. Finally, thank God, somebody showed me the truth and says, it's not riding on you. It's riding on God. God wants you to go and tell them about Jesus. Bring them the Word of God. And you leave the work of salvation to the Lord. I don't lead anybody to Christ. Jesus leads people to Christ. And the Holy Spirit of God draws them unto Himself. Number four, He's our soul-winning helper. Number five, He is our supernatural power source. Turn to your Bible this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, a tremendous verse. Most of you know it. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He is, number five, our supernatural power source. That word power there is the word for dynamite. You need to blast some cold hearts in your family. I got some dynamite power. You need to blast some cold hearts where you work. I got some dynamite power. You need to blast some cold hearts when you go soul winning and door-to-door visitation. We got some dynamite power. The dynamite power of the Holy Spirit of God. My friends, when you and I do the work of God, when you and I surrender our lives to serve Christ, we don't go in our own power. We don't go in our own strength. If we do, our results show it. But if we go and say, Lord, I'm going as a vessel for you to use. Lord, I am nothing. I'm a simple man, a simple woman. But God, I'm asking you to use me today. Lord, help me to encourage people. Help me to challenge people. Help me to enlighten their way. Help me to show them the light of Christ. Say, oh God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, please, may your power rest upon me. And God, I pray that you would do a great work. And you take all the responsibility off you. And you give all the responsibility for the results to God. And that's a liberating thing. That's freedom from the burden of spiritual work. My friends, I have great freedom to come up here and teach to you today. Because I don't come up here and teach to you in eloquence and wisdom of Rob Poffel. As I approach my Sunday school classes, I say, oh God, I pray that you would do a great work in my Sunday school class today. You would speak through me today. And you would work in the hearts and lives of the people that will come to hear. And I'm so glad you are here this morning. Number 5, he is our supernatural power source. And number 6, he is our supply for Christ-like character and conduct. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians, and I close with this. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. He is our supply, our supernatural supply of Christ-like character and conduct. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit. Is that a big S or a little S there in your King James Bible? That's a big S. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Number 6, he is our supply, our supernatural supply of Christ-like character and conduct. If it is your desire this morning to have the light of Jesus Christ come through you, if it is your desire this morning to go forth as lights in the midst of a dark and perverse world, then you and I need to say, oh God, may the fruit of the Holy Spirit be evident in me. You see, it's the Spirit of God that enables me to love you like God wants me to love you. I can't love you like God wants me to love you. Number 2, joy. I can't have real joy like God wants me to have joy without the Holy Spirit. Peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. You see, it's not about walking with God is not about self-control. It's about spirit control. Oh, I'm so glad I'm saved this morning because of my constant companion, the Holy Spirit of God. Is anybody happy this morning they have the Holy Spirit? Say amen. 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 If you don't know for sure, if I could have every head bowed and every eye closed here this morning. If you don't know for sure that Jesus Christ has forgiven you of your sins, that you have been given the Holy Spirit of God, I want to give you an opportunity right now to receive Christ. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's real simple to be saved. Number 1, admit you're a sinner. Recognize that you've sinned against the Holy God. Number 2, repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. Number 3, turn to Jesus Christ today. He died on the cross for your punishment of your sins, rose again, victorious over death to give you justification and righteousness. If you'd like to pray with me this morning and receive Christ, I invite you to do that right now. Say this, dear Jesus, I thank you for loving me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. And the best I know how, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And have come into my heart and cleansed me Dear Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me to save me today. And the best I know how, I ask you to be my Savior right now. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and saving me. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, is there anyone here this morning that would raise their hands as a testimony of faith? Brother Rob, I prayed that prayer this morning, and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Is there anyone? Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. God, thank you for giving us the precious Holy Spirit of God. Lord, thank you for our constant companion. Lord, who is so abused. Lord, who is so misunderstood. Father, thank you. Oh God, help us, Lord, to walk with you, Lord, and to grow in truth. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you are dismissed.